of those milestone steps that that we as a church observed over the past several weeks. You know, we are here in this, we're here in the middle line. That's where we are today. We know about the top where the death of Christ, his burial, his resurrection. And, you know, this hasn't happened to us yet. The day is coming. And thinking of these young people that made this commitment of being born again, making this public testimony, being baptized and coming into the church, and then we as a church, you know, there were kind of highs for us. We were just got all pumped up and thrilled. But, you know, life goes on. We know that. Life goes on. And I thought of the young people especially, this is when they make that commitment, or any person, whether he's young or old, when he's born again, there's something, there's new life. There's just a zeal there. And, you know, we're on fire for the Lord. But after, you know, life goes on. And we don't stay there. Life just doesn't keep us in one spot. And I want to speak a little bit about that this morning. The title of the message is The Power and Effect of Influences. Influence means the act or power of producing an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. And that I think of, sometimes we read an accident report and the person that caused the accident says that they were under the influence of alcohol or drugs, which means that their mind wasn't able to function normally or respond as they should have. Another meaning is corrupt interference with authority for personal gain, and the power or capacity of causing an effect in indirect or intangible ways, or to sway. So influence can be subtle. And we all deal with that every day. We're influenced by someone or something. Am I correct in that? We're influenced by something or someone. And I pray, I hope, friends, that we are influenced by this most of all. And that's why I'm a great promoter of first thing in the morning that spend time with God. Pray. Get into the Word. Read His Word. Meditate in it. That's the food for the day. And that, I believe, just that in as believers in of the Bible, believers of Christ, redeemed people, that gives us that food that we need for the day to be influenced to the right. I believe that. Our everyday life, our actions, our speech, and just the way we are is an influence on someone. And the older I get, the more conscious I am of this. It's to our spouse, it's to our children, our grandchildren, our siblings, our brethren, our sisters in the church, those that we meet. We are an influence on someone, and vice versa. Someone is an influence to us. That's why the Bible reads, Paul wrote that, be not deceived, that evil communications corrupt good manners. Somehow it just works that way. And I thought of the illustration that Brother Tim used when he was here. I don't know if you remember that. You know, he had these two lines up here on the board. The one was the higher plane, and then he had another one beneath it that he said was kind of the lower plane of Christianity. I got to thinking about that. You know, God wants us on that higher plane. He wants us on the higher plane of, that's where He wants us. But sometimes we can get a little, maybe we get a little lethargic or complacent, and we kind of drop down on that lower level. And we seem to be content there.
And as I think about that, if we're content there, you know, the law of gravity is going to work. And the pull from the world is going to go up to that middle line. It's going to be bumping there. It's going to be kind of like a magnet. And if we're content to stay there, we're probably going to drop beneath it and be drawn into the world. Because we are influenced by that. May we be drawn towards higher ground, towards the upper plane. So it comes again. It comes back to us as we've been in these high places and had these highs in our lives, these things that stand out to us. But then life goes on, and now we have to, you know, every day we have to choose. We're God created us that way. Back, if you remember back at creation, God gave Adam and Eve the command to not eat of that forbidden fruit, but they had a choice. And we know how that choice went. And we still have that choice. Even though God made the way for us, you know, through this top line here, through the suffering and death and the shed blood of Jesus to be reconciled to Him, we still have to make the daily choice of staying there. We choose by who or what we are influenced by. And it has a definite effect in our life and eternal destiny. And that's what gets very serious to me, is it has an effect in our life and our eternal destiny. So we want to look at what influences us and how do we influence others. There's just several Bible characters that I think about of being influenced, read about, thinking of Joseph. There must have been some good influence in his life, or I don't think he would have made the choices that he did. You know, old Jacob or Israel, he's one of the patriarchs of faith in the Bible. I believe he wasn't perfect, but I believe he had an influence on his sons. And some of his sons chose not to give heed to that influence, but yet Joseph was one of those that did. And it carried him through. And Brother Tim Zook spoke a lot about Daniel. Daniel made a lot of good choices. So, what are we choosing? By who or what are we influenced by? You know, there's a lot of the what things, temporal things, that can influence us as well. What drives us in our work? What drives us to get up in the morning? And why do we pursue the type of work that we do? And, you know, all those questions, we need to consider those. So what does influence us? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. We have just some very plain, easily understood directives from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. What should influence us? And reminding us, as Mark said, who we are. Matthew 5 verses 13 and 16. I believe as we get up in the morning, we read our Bibles, we are reminded that we are, as Jesus said here, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I guess first of all, what I think about when we're reminded that whose we are, we belong to God, we're Christ's. So now we're the salt of the earth. Well, think a little bit with me what salt does. Salt is something, a very essential element to our physical bodies. Without salt, we would be very unhealthy. Now, too much is unhealthy as well. But salt is a preserver, and it's an enhancer. You know, it enhances the flavor of food. And it preserves. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying here. We are to be preservers of His way of life. Preservers of faith in Christ. Preservers of a godly life. And that then, you know, also the same with the light. It says we're to be the light. As we get up in the morning, do you think about it that you are going to be a preserver today or a light in a dark world around us? That people can see this light and see the way to go. It tells us the outcome of that, or the result of that, in verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, as we go about life, we shouldn't look at being great or least, but glorifying God. That should be our goal, to glorify God, that we are to be a reflection. That's what the light speaks about here. Christ shining into our lives, reflecting His love and His power and grace, His mercy to others. We must use the Word of God as the gauge of what we are influenced by. You know, does our life, how does it measure up to God's Word? Are we a reflection of Christ? Thinking of influence, we spoke about that a little bit. Paul writes about that in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, that's the influence we want to have, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That, we're full of that. There's just no room for anything else. And with that, you know, we want to consider eternity. We're here in this middle phase. We're still in life. Hopefully, most of us are here. There may be some that are still here. But you know, eternity is ahead. And that's a sobering thing. We're facing eternity. We're going to get there. Dead or alive, we're going to get there. And that's what's so sobering to me. And then I think of, do the people I admire and the things I long for produce holiness and a close walk with God in my life? And the course that it causes me to take. You know, influence is going to cause us to take a course in life. It will. Will it lead me to the eternal destiny that I want? That should have an effect on us. Oh, and I think of this, I don't know, I think of this man and I think of myself. When I was on that part there, you know, what brings us, and a little bit of part of the message last Sunday, you know, it said we need to repentance from our sins. That's the step. But this question keeps coming back to me. Do we know, and we keep hearing the phrase that, you know, we need to get saved. Saved from what? Just from ourselves? What are we talking about? Do we realize what we've been redeemed from? And somehow this past week, maybe I'll have to share a little bit of my testimony, but I was reminded of some things of years ago, and I just don't like to go there. I just don't like to go there. It gets me down. It kind of gets me discouraged. Because that was the old life. And that's what I say. Sometimes, you know, I consider that, and I know that's where I was. But I can, by the grace of God, I'm here. I'm here now. I praise the Lord for that. Because when I was here, I'm just going to tell you what drove me to get to the other side of the cross. There's a phrase in a song that says, I had no one else to blame. You know, that reality hit me. I play, you know, that's just humanity's to play the blame game, but I had no one else to blame. And I knew that I had to pay because I was bound to face hell's flame. I was a Bible reader. I was a churchgoer. I was a married man. But I had things in my life that weren't taken care of. And being a Bible reader just enhances that, and the Holy Spirit conviction. And I'm so, today I'm so glad for that. The Holy Spirit conviction, it made me miserable. It didn't give me peace. But as I was on that side, and I believe that that's where we need to get, that I knew that I had to pay, and I was bound to face hell's flame if I didn't repent. And that's the reality. That's what drove me to my knees. I was bound to face hell's flame. And I'd be there today, my friends, but for the blood. And that's just, when we, sometimes we need, it's good for me, sometimes to just stop and realize what have we been saved from. And, you know, the other thing, like I said, I was bound to face hell's flame. When we're there, and we've been Bible readers, we think of this. And we think, we know that unrepented, and we get to the point of death, we're lost. That's when I started seeking other influences. Because I knew I didn't want to go there. And that's when, you know, it's just the everyday life, the influences that we face, the choices that we make, is going to make the difference in eternity. In Luke 15, let's look at several examples of people that were influenced, some to the right, some to the wrong. Luke 15, we have the account of the prodigal son. We don't read much about his family life. And yeah, I'm not sure. Was he, how much good influence did he have? Was his father a believer? It doesn't tell us, but it seems like his dad may have been a well-to-do citizen of the country. And we know that story. How did he ask for his inheritance? And his dad gave him his inheritance and he let him go. Maybe his friends that he had were an influence on him. Maybe he had friends in some of these cities that he wanted to go to, and they kept alluring him, and he listened to that. But undoubtedly, he made some bad choices. And he took his life's inheritance, and he left for this big city. I think it's what it says. Well, it says he took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living, ungodly living. Well, you know, that's an expensive lifestyle. And it still happens today just like it did then. People might have quite a bit of money, but they get involved in drugs and all kinds of other evil things. And before long, they're broke, financially broke. That's what happened to this young man. He had a good time for a little while. After a while, he found himself very hungry, and the party was over, And he had been taught enough that he knew that the only way is to go find a job and work. That's what he did. And he took the lowliest jobs. Well, what can you imagine if you get or have the reputation of being a party person and just drinking and carousing and living a wild life, you think you can get a good job somewhere? He went to a pig farmer. It's the only place he could go, probably. He went to the pig farmer and was willing to hire out to take care of the pigs, which was considered a very lowly job. And he got so hungry there that he would have desired the pig food. It says, but nobody even gave that to him. You know, finally he got down there, he hit rock bottom. And sometimes that's where we need to get. When our stomachs are hungry and we're in shambles, we just have nothing. But you know, there somehow I believe there was a good influence in his young years. He got there to that rock bottom place, and his thoughts went back home. His thoughts went back home. Somehow, I just believe that there was, as he asked his dad for his inheritance and his intention to leave, and dad said, okay, go. But there was something that part of that dad went with him. I believe the dad kept praying, the dad kept watching. As the story goes, I believe the dad kept watching the road. Maybe he knew what would happen. But also the son had part of that dad with him, and he knew that there was a dad back home that would take him in. I think he thought that anyway. So when he came to himself, he thought back home. And then he thought of his dad's servants. They were not even, maybe not blood relation, but they had plenty to eat. All their needs were met. Then he made a wise choice. He said, I will go back home and I will be, ask dad to forgive me and just ask to be one of the hired servants. That's what he did. And we know the story how his dad just welcomed him back in and he had a grand homecoming celebration there. I wish we could read how he turned out later in life, but we don't have that. But the point is, this young man made some bad choices. He was under some bad influence. And then he also turned his life around and made right choices. Over in chapter 16 of Luke, in verse 15, and he said unto them, Jesus again speaking, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And that's also something that we need want to analyze. We think of being influenced by someone or something. Is this just a popular opinion? Is something that men promote? Or is it God approved? That's the important thing. Is it God approved? The influence that we are about to give ourselves to. Going back to verse 13, it says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Another couple choices here. We have to choose, make the decision who we're going to choose, for our, not only for ourselves, but as we live life. You know the song that we know, that somebody follows you. Someone is observing your life. So, it's not just about us. It's about others that observe our lives. Choices. You know, life is just full of choices. Chapter 17 in Luke. Verses 1 and 2. Then he said unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Again, thinking of the influence that we leave. Jesus said offenses will come. He said, be sure it's not from you. I believe that's what he's saying. So the life that we live, the things that we do, we need to consider, how is it going to affect others? Because it will. It will affect our spouse. It will affect our children, our grandchildren, our people we work with, the people we meet. It's going to affect someone. Everyone has an effect or influence on someone else's life, either good or bad. That's just those two, just one or the other. Your life and my life is going to have an effect on someone, either good or bad. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, Paul wrote about a lineage of good influences. And we know that. 2 Timothy 1, he's speaking about Timothy. And he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. If we are that blessed and privileged that we can think back of what our grandfathers influenced in our lives, we are richly blessed. And I've been encouraged much by that already. You know, thinking of my grandparents, no, they weren't perfect. But they had some good influences in my life that still guide me today. And you know, from their influences through my parents, and hopefully I can be that to my children and my grandchildren, that they can look at my life and observe my way of life and my teachings that I have with my Lord, that this can be a generational continuance, pointing people to Christ. Sometimes we hear the phrase, passing on the faith. Not sure that we can pass on the faith. We can pass people's direction towards the faith. But I think of passing on the faith, that I think of pointing my posterity to Jesus. That's where I want them to be, is to following Jesus. Pure faith and holiness. If this is our influence, it will surely take us and others to heaven. You know, that's one of the best testimonies that a person can have. Another testimony I think of and read in the Bible is Lot. And, you know, we read about Lot in the New Testament. He calls him righteous. He calls him just. And I'll leave that. Lot didn't really live a life that I would want to follow. I have to say that. Lot made some choices. He had opportunity to do well. And he was under a good influence with Abraham. And we could turn to Genesis 11 and 12. And, you know, he was Abraham's nephew. But he was also under the influence and teaching of his grandfather, Terah, which was an Israelite and, I believe, a good man. What we read of him. So he had those two prior generational influences. And he lived with Abraham for quite some time. And we see some of the choices. I was reading through that. And Abraham, when he had Lot with him, Abraham was in life. And he had choices to make. And he made choices. And then God blessed him. But then what did Abraham do? He built an altar. And that tells me that Abraham was a godly man. When he had the blessings of gain, he thanked God. He built an altar. And I believe he worshiped God. And Lot observed that. But when, you know, in the Old Testament, when When people follow the Lord, God blessed them with material riches and gains. And that happened to Abraham and Lot both. And they were in the land of Canaan. And it came to, they got too big to be together. And so Abraham gave Lot the choice of where he said, we shouldn't quarrel. But there was trouble between the herdsmen. He said, we shouldn't quarrel. He said, you choose the right and I'll go to the left. Or if you choose the left, I'll go to the right. And you might think that Lot was materialistic. Believe that Lot stood there, maybe they were at this high point of where they could see a broad scope of country, and Lot observed that, you know, these plains over here, they were green, and he knew there was water over there, and maybe that's where the quarrel was. And over here, it was more mountainous, a little more barren, a drier. So Lot chose the well-watered plains. He said, I'll take this over here. I don't know if he considered Abraham. It doesn't seem like he considered his uncle Abraham. He said, I'll take this over here. You know, Sodom is over there, a good point of trade there. We can, you know, we can sell our goods there, good cattle market. He said, I'll take this over here. Okay. Abraham said, okay. So he took that. That's the choice he made. That was one choice that was a little questionable as I read that account. And Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. And Sodom was known as a wicked city. Would we advise that? We advise someone to move toward the outer edge of a wicked city? I don't think I would. Well, so Lot went there. And then he made another transgression. He took a woman, a wife, out of Sodom, which would have been forbidden. They were not to take wives outside of Israel. And he had a family. And the next thing we read, he was sitting in the gates. He was in Sodom. So those are some things there that happened with choices that were not good. And something else that kind of stuck with me that Tim Zook said about Lot and his descendants, said it should have never happened. I'll leave that. It happened. Maybe it shouldn't have. But you know, Lot's descendants even were enemies of Israel. The Ammonites and the Moabites were Israel's enemies. He lost his wife. So he moved towards Sodom. It appeared to look like a definite material gain. You know, said he got his wife there, he had his family there. But what did he leave with? What did Lot leave Sodom with? That appeared, you know, to be just the place to go, to get wealth, to get just have a good life. But then when the men of God came and said that, Lot, you need to leave. Sodom is going to be destroyed. What did he leave with? He left with his wife and two daughters. Didn't get very far, and his wife turned into a pillar of salt. But he fled on into the mountains with his two daughters, and then the outcome was the Ammonites and the Moabites. We know that story. We might say he lost it all. He lost the blessing of God, first of all. So there are choices that we make in life that may not always turn out as they should. But if we have the opportunity to repent, praise the Lord for that, we can repent. Solomon was another one that we would read about in 1 Kings, that when he was anointed king, he was a very humble man, and God gave him the opportunity to ask what he wanted. And Solomon, his humility came out. He said, here I am but a child, and I'm chosen to reign in my father's stead. And we know his plea, his What he wanted was wisdom to know how to judge the people. And that was just outstanding. That pleased God. God commended him for that. He said, I will give you that. You will be known as the wisest man, but not only that. He said, you didn't ask for riches, but I'm going to give you riches as well. And we know the outcome of Solomon. Riches destroyed him. Many wives, strange wives, it said. He also violated of taking wives from the heathen nations. Many wives. And it destroyed him. God abandoned him. His latter end wasn't good. When he was humble and made right choices, God blessed him. But when he made bad choices, God left him. 1 Timothy 4. Verses 12 and 16. Verses 12 through 16. Says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, or in your walk of life, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine or the word of God. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So this is what God wants of us. It says, be thou an example of the believers. As believers of Christ, we are to be that reflection of Christ, teaching people, showing people how to live a godly life that will help them walk closer to God. As we take heed of what influences us, we will make a difference in how we influence others. The little things, as well as the more notable things, will have an effect on someone's life. Yeah, I can think back of various people that had an effect on my life. Things that I remember. Some not so well, some very good influences that I remember. Will it cause someone to stumble and fall spiritually and end up in hell? Yeah, that would be awful. Or will it encourage and strengthen someone that they may reach heaven? That's my desire. That's for each of us, that the lives that we live will help others find their way. Our life and actions do make a difference for ourselves and others. In our home, in the church, in the community, in the workplace, wherever we are, we're going to make a difference. And I think of what another thing we heard during our meetings, the end of every message, what is the so what? So the so what of this message is, do the people I admire and the things I long for produce holiness and a close walk with God in my life? That's a serious consideration. Let's kneel in prayer. Our God, Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you have given us the power of choice. And yet, Lord, we are mindful that this is a serious business. We are accountable of the choices that we make, the influences that we listen to. And God, I just pray that you would help each of us to be that right influence, that Christ-like influence, and that we would also choose right ways and right decisions. Pray this for each person here, from the youngest to the oldest. Be with our young people, Lord. Help them be faithful and help them to be careful about what they're influenced by, who they're influenced by. And to each of us as believers, that we can point them to Christ. We thank you so much for Jesus, that he made the way open for us by his shed blood and resurrection, that we can be reconciled to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.